In 1162, a man jumped to the moon. In 491, Galileo made the sun. In 1287 was the first ever Kevin. In 1919, Martin, she became queen. Something's after going on. What's the crack with this thing? All kinds of carry on. Look what's after happening.
Hello and welcome back to another episode, another thrilling, another knuckle-dusting, white-knuckle ride edition.
Knuckle-dusting.
Knuckle-dusting edition of Look What's After
Happening. Hopefully everybody's got their Look What's After Happening branded knuckle-dusters out in the post.
They should have arrived by now.
They should have. If they haven't, have a word with your postman, and a serious word. Like, grab him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't grab him, because he might have a bunch of
knuckle dusters.
Yeah. We didn't go traditional routes of posts, is the other thing to remember.
Yes.
You said you know a clandestine postal service.
Well, you know DPD.
I know DPD.
Yeah, well, this is PDP.
PDP.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the remnants of the Progressive Democrats Party.
The remnants.
It doesn't exist anymore, the Progressive Democrats.
But you know who do exist? The assistants.
The assistants, yes. So the various people who used to be, you know, they missed the Progressive Democrats days. They're like, God, do you remember the 80s when we were a hot young party getting out there and
meeting people, making promises,
and not getting many votes? They said, well, let's set up something. Let's do something together.
PDP.
PDP, Postal Service. And they're going around the place. So they're used to canvassing.
Oh, they are very used to it. Pressing the flesh, getting out there,
meeting
face to face.
They won't put anything through the letterbox without ringing the doorbell first and be like, hello, listen, I'm wondering if I can get your vote for this parcel that I'm about to deliver. Yeah.
Okay, so they're still campaigning.
That's what they're used to.
Well, that's why it's taken forever.
It's taken a while, yeah.
All right, okay. And are they canvassing... They're canvassing everyone, and then just on the ones where we've sent out knuckle dusters, they hand a knuckle duster at the end.
They're handing a knuckle duster at the end. Wondering if they can get your vote on our parcel delivery service, PDP.
Right. I see now, maybe we should have just gone with the postal service. Just a normal post office.
Oh, you see
office.
That now?
Well, I just... Well, I didn't know. You said you had a system and it's fine, don't worry.
Yeah.
You know people in the PDP.
In the PDP. And listen, I mean, they're a great... Desi O'Malley. Desi O'Malley. It's been on my lips for ages now. Desi O'Malley.
Desi O'Malley. What, did he just sort of walk behind us or something?
Oh, yes. No, it's just...
I
saw him there.
Oh, he's just... Is that fella who sort of wanders back and forth?
That's Desi O'Malley. Desi O'Malley Jr., yeah.
Oh, Desi O'Malley Jr.
Yeah, I think Desi O'Malley died. I could be wrong. Maybe he's still alive.
Okay.
But whatever he is, he's not doing politics anymore.
He's not at all. And that man seems too young to be...
Oh, God, yeah. What is he? 17?
Tops. Yeah. 17 tops he's wearing. 17. So, I mean, like, if you haven't got your knuckle dusters, then there's nothing we can do about it.
There's nothing we can do about it. But if you do have them, you might like to just start punching stuff all the way through this episode.
Absolutely. If you find yourself in a public place, because a lot of our listeners listen to it maybe when they're out doing the local shop.
Yeah.
Or something. Just take a swing. Not at a person now.
Not at a person. No.
Take a swing at a loaf of bread.
A big horse, maybe.
Big horse.
Yeah, not a person.
A station wagon or something.
A station wagon,
Yeah. Something that can take it.
Yeah.
You know, don't be hitting anybody with the knuckle dusters. For two reasons. One, you'll get them very angry.
Yeah.
And two, these are not good quality knuckle dusters.
Yes, and it is our logo, our name, that's emblazoned across the front of them.
So
you will leave the mark that says, look what's after happening with Colin Spress and Killian Vermilion.
Yes, they're not well made.
Look, come on.
They're not well made.
We have had a few suggestions that we should recall these knuckle dusters because they have exploded a couple of times.
They the fireworks.
Yeah, or they act a bit like those devices, like a guillotine for chopping off cigarette ends. You know, they just, you punch someone and it just chops off all four of your fingers. Just because it's not strong metal. That we made them out of.
Strong enough, of course.
We looked at the price range and we were like, bronze,
Not a chance. We'll take aluminium, I guess.
Yeah.
Just sharp aluminium.
Yeah.
They're not super strong, so they will bend, but they are strong enough to chop through fascia and bone.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll take the fingers right off you.
I mean, at best, they'll cut off the circulation. So like a bull being castrated, your fingers will just fall off a week later.
Like a bull being castrated, yeah. Your fingers will fall off.
That's how you castrate a bull, you know that?
And that's why no bulls have fingers.
Yes.
There you go. We look forward to seeing all of our fans giving us the thumbs up, because that's all they'll have left.
That's all they'll have left.
That'll be our
they'll
new
be
sign.
Shaking their fists at us, but really, it'll just be, we'll be like, oh, thumbs up to you too.
Anyway, this week
we have a guest on.
A special guest.
Yes, she is a breathing specialist.
That's
her main area of expertise, and her name is Veronica Tsai. Veronica.
Hello, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Connor,
delighted.
Killian.
Yeah, very close.
Almost got it.
Colin.
Okay.
Now, it's funny that you can't remember Colin's name. You got my name right because you are going on an expedition with Colin.
Yes. Well, I don't stress myself with these sort of details.
No.
It's important to keep a... On the sort of expedition that we're going on, Colin, you want to keep a level head, you want to keep calm.
Yes, so you get rid of a lot of extraneous details from your life.
Yes, oxygen tanks.
extraneous details like oxygen tanks.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about the expedition, but in my life as well, I don't find any need for oxygen tanks. Which I think have become overused these days.
Well, I'm certainly...
Oxygen tanks.
Oxygen tanks, I use quite a few of them now. They're like vapes for me.
Yes, they are. Just sucking on the end of one outside a pub.
I hope you don't mind me sharing, but he actually said he uses 10 a day.
I do use 10 a day. Yeah. Well, I get a good deal on them, so I buy them in tens.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've asked that he go without for the entirety of this conversation, and you seem to be doing...
I'm really buckling at the moment, so I'll see how I get on. And in my defence, right, they're very difficult to... You can't vape slowly on an oxygen tank.
No.
Because
once you open it...
It comes out very fast.
You have to hold on to it. It's a sudden gush of air.
And you have to hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
And you have to hope your lungs don't explode again.
And why do you think they design it that way?
To sell more, I guess.
Is it
to sell more?
Yes.
Okay, Veronica.
We're getting the inside track here.
Yes, that's oxygen is a corrupt industry.
Oxygen is a corrupt industry.
Yes.
So you've obviously studied this. You're a doctor, I think it's fair to mention. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to mention?
I'll allow that. I don't normally like to lean into hierarchy so much, but in this instance, I will allow it.
Okay, fair. Well, I think what it does is it sort of highlights how important and... I guess, like, factual your research is. Do you know, it's of a doctor's quality. But you have looked into...
Strangest statement I've ever heard.
I am a doctor.
It's of a doctor's quality.
I am a doctor, okay?
And this you is ask of a doctor's that when quality.
Anytime you meet a doctor, when you go to the doctor, he gives you a prescription and you're like, and is this of a doctor's quality?
Look, I am as worthy as any doctor. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Just say that.
But you don't consider doctors worthy. You're as worthy as any of them. Cheers.
My oxygen tank fell over. I did nudge it. I went for it and I said, no, I won't
just
have
thinking
it.
About it.
I was under the impression that you had left your oxygen tank outside.
Well, I couldn't do that.
Okay.
I couldn't do that because someone will steal it.
Look, I can see you're struggling. Do you want to have a hit of it?
No, please, can I?
Oh, yes,
do. Okay, very good. Okay. I'm just going to, just a quick one. Oh, yeah!
Your breath has turned blue now, Colin. I don't know what that is.
My God. And oh, that's good stuff.
Killian, he'll be chasing that hit, that high, all day.
That's great stuff. I think we could use a couple of these on the expedition, honestly.
Yeah, so where are you going on this expedition?
We are going to, it is just off the east coast of France.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The east coast of France.
That's where I've...
yeah, yeah.
The west coast.
Less traveled now, the east coast of France.
Yes.
Like, people haven't explored it. And that is why you're finally going there, to the east coast of France.
Mm. Off the east coast of France, there is an island that has a lower oxygen, the amount of oxygen in the air than other places on Earth. And so I'll be bringing Colin. Mm-hmm. Colin.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You got it.
Yeah, I nailed it.
To the island where he hopefully he can go cold turkey.
Oh, and this is... Yes, yeah.
And we'll extremely cold turkey because there's less oxygen there than anywhere else on the planet.
And do you know where else there's less oxygen? It's underwater. Which is...
There's loads less.
A lot less.
Yeah, a lot less.
Oxygen underwater, yeah.
Which is how we'll be getting to the island. Underwater swimming.
So you're going to swim under the water to the island?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
And well, that's handy because I have... As you well know, and I've probably explained it to you, I have the hips of a hippo.
Okay.
So it means that I can travel underwater very easily.
Good.
I sort of sink to the bottom and I just sort of bound along the ground.
That is great.
So, and you're going to swim, I guess?
I'm going to swim.
You could, I suppose you could sort of, you could stick a saddle on me and you could...
Yes.
I give you some sort of steed.
That's what we can do. That's what we can do.
Interesting.
We will... Look, I'm an expert in oxygen. We will have to come up sometimes for oxygen. So,
well, I won't be able to.
Okay.
Those are heavy hips.
Okay. Yeah,
so
heavy
you
hips.
Can go
he
up and bring some back down
now.
To me if you want.
No, that's not how oxygen... Look, you just don't...
I'm not an expert.
Not an expert. Mm. You will have to come up. In my training, I've learned with oxygen, you have to open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then you...
Done.
You open your mouth and then you contract...
I can't close mine.
This is breathing you're talking about, this is it, Veronica? Breathe,
it's a bit more advanced than breathing.
Right.
It is respiratory contractions is what I've coined it as.
Oh, wow.
Respiratory contractions.
So you do a super gulp of oxygen, is that what
you're
saying?
A super gulp of oxygen.
Okay.
I can then go underwater for about 3 strides before
And this is with a super gulp.
This is
a normal gulp of
and,
air.
And a lot of training.
And
a lot of lung training.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, we can't underestimate how much training I have undergone. I've been to this island.
How
I've been to
been
it. Oh, 15 years.
Wow.
15
that's
years.
A lot of training.
Yes.
Mm.
I.
How many? So 3 strides after 15 years of training. Mm. What did you start with?
I at the beginning, I just couldn't swim my head under the water. I was constantly...
I mean, that's most of us, you know, when we're first learning to swim, we keep the head above the water.
Yes, yes. It was mortifying.
Now, when you say strides, are you swimming or are you running?
Running.
Okay,
running,
right, so
running.
You're running underwater. Running.
Yes, yes.
So 3 strides.
What else could you do?
Well,
know.
Some people underwater? Use their arms to kind of pull the water behind them.
Swimming.
Yeah, swimming.
You wouldn't swim underwater now. You could swim on top of water.
Yeah.
No, but as soon as you get underwater, you're best running.
Right.
I have not heard of this swimming.
What? I mean...
What?
I have not heard of...
The
swimming.
Never heard
swimming.
Of swimming. Wow.
Maybe it didn't come up.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Mullingar in the Midlands.
Oh, Mullingar. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think they believe
they
in swimming there.
They did not have, pools there.
Not there's even no on the east coast of Mullingar?
So you know what a pool is, but you never heard of swimming.
I have heard tell about it,
yes. So that's just somewhere where you go striding,
I
suppose.
They're one of those boxes where you go running.
Yeah,
that's what a swimming pool is.
In a way, if that's
a
how
water
you approach it, but
box.
It's weird that it's called a swimming pool.
Well, it's not. It's called a water box.
A water
box. It's a water box in Mullingar.
The water box
water
in Mullingar,
yes. Yes.
Fabulous.
Simple as that.
Fabulous.
So we're going to go this whole expedition. I know I sort of said it has some sort of historical relevance, but honestly it's just so I get off the
tanks.
Yeah, I need to stop vaping the tanks.
What is the name of this island? Did we find that out?
It is Eastern France.
Eastern France Island.
Yes.
And,
now it's to the east of France. So that I think that's where that name comes from.
Yes.
It probably would be, yeah.
Yeah, well, it could be, but we don't know.
We don't
sure.
know. I mean,
we want to find out.
You can look into,
exactly.
when you get to the island.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's an entirely alien atmosphere, which is weird.
Yes.
You know, because you'd assume that the oxygen that is in the rest of the Earth would be on this island. Not so. Mm. It's surrounded by a bubble.
It's surrounded by a bubble. A little bit less gravity.
A little bit less. Almost imperceptible.
Yeah. No. You just feel a bit lighter in yourself.
You just feel a little bit lighter. Yeah. You feel a little bit happier.
Yeah, you do. You just feel a little less sluggish, a little less tired.
Yes.
There's a downside to it. You don't notice it. You get used to it. And you come off the island, you feel a bit low in yourself.
Yeah,
actually. Yeah. That's something you're going to have to get.
Oh, yeah.
So when you come off the island, you'll be without the oxygen.
Right.
And you'll be a bit low in yourself.
Right. Mm. Well, is there anything to the fact that maybe I'll be hypoxic? Is that the word when you're without oxygen? Is that what kind of gives you that high?
Not with... say that again now.
Because there's less oxygen on the island.
Yes.
So your brain is getting less oxygen.
Yes.
So you're kind of choking yourself, I guess. It's kind of like that...
Asphyxie wank.
Well, it won't be. It'll just be asphyxiation. It won't be anything erotic. It'll just be...
Not with my method.
Not you take the eroticism right out of it.
Yes. No, we will keep to the perimeter of the island, where we will constantly keep dipping our heads out of the bubble.
Oh, I see.
And we'll be using my gulp method.
Yes.
So then you can go back in the island and you can stride around.
So you're still
around.
Getting the same amount of oxygen.
No, my method is foolproof.
It's foolproof method.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Normally he would be getting a gulp of oxygen every time he opens his mouth and does his respiratory contractions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
With it, he's reducing it down to every 3 strides. Keep up, Killian.
Every three strides. Now, of course, as we've said, I can't physically close my mouth.
Okay.
That's just because of the amount of teeth that I have and just an old rugby injury where someone thought my mouth was a ball. Okay. So I don't close my mouth ever. It's constantly just sort of like one of those whales that sort of hoovers in krill.
Yes.
I guess. So there isn't so much a contraction as such as I'm just sort of like catching air.
That's because you haven't been doing your respiratory contraction exercises.
Right.
At the moment, you're just sort of like... Again, what you're saying, open.
Yeah.
Your respiratory system is not contracting at all. Yeah. But with the contraption that I've built you, we can build muscle in your lungs.
That'll be excellent.
Which I notice you're wearing today.
I am, yes.
You're wearing today, yes.
Yes, I am. Yep. It looks a little bit like a corset.
Yes.
But it is in the back, if you can see, there's a number of gears and there's a pneumatic arm that just every now and again just punches me in the spine.
Yes. Mm. And what that does is that mimics breathing. It gives you a big shudder.
Do I have it on backwards?
Maybe. Yeah, right. We're going to have to get you to turn it around so that you can... If you turn it around, if you have the lever at the front of you, you can every now and then do it yourself. You can pull down the lever, give yourself a punch, your muscles contract.
Do you feel like you're being punched every time you breathe?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes, and that is normal from my studies. I have interviewed...
Of a doctor's quality.
I have carried out several surveys, and almost 15% of the population agree that breathing is painful. So that's how I know I'm doing it right.
15%. Okay.
That you can't argue with those.
No, they are.
Seems like a minority, but an overwhelming minority. Though. Yeah. Well, that must be tough. I mean, growing up like that, where every time you breathe, it felt like you were getting punched.
Yes, that's why I got into
very hard for
breathing
you.
Studies. Yes.
You wanted to see what was going on.
Yes.
How many universities did you have to apply to until you found one which did breathing studies?
I would say seven. I'd say I applied to seven. I got into one. It's very competitive.
Very
breathing
competitive.
Studies.
It is, of course.
It's very competitive.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays with the Wim Hof and the Veronica Tsai method. All of these things are making it more competitive.
You just named your own method there.
Yes.
The two big ones, yeah.
I didn't name it. It's my followers sort of did that for me. Yes.
Now, I don't know if it's okay to bring this up, but you have a bit of beef with old Wim Hof, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I disagree with his method. Yes, I would say. Yeah. I
so
think
what's his thing? He's like jumping cold water. That's his
jumping
big thing.
Jumping cold water, which I would say it needs to be boiling hot water to really
really scalding.
To get the lungs going.
To really have you ever poured boiling water on yourself? And what happens?
Oh, it hurts.
But what happens to your respiratory
bubbles.
Contractions?
Sorry, you're breathing. Boils. I was going to say my skin bubbles.
Yeah.
Increase.
Yes, you are.
Yes, shocked.
That's what happens when you pour boiling water on yourself.
Gas. Yeah.
And you. So I think that is the quickest way to get your breath going. And after all, that is just what we are after, is just at any cost. And what I find as well is. It feels very similar to being punched in the chest, which is my experience of breathing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you enjoy that.
Yes.
It's nostalgic for you.
Yes. So not cold water, not icy water.
No. Boiling hot.
Boiling hot.
Yes. Now, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it because it is still going through the courts, but your boil tanks that you were selling, they were taken off the market very quickly.
They were taken off the market. Yeah. We are still
taken off you as well, weren't they?
Yes,
they were confiscated.
They were
by the park.
I believe in helping people, whether that is legal or not. Okay, so when they were taken off the market, I was still operating a boil tank.
Yeah, kind of an underground boil tank den.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was sort of like, if you can imagine, you know, those Burko boilers that you get.
There
was a bit like a very big one of those.
Yeah.
Is
it fair to say it was one? Is it fair to say that, like, it's just a big cylinder, and at the very bottom, it's just a big cylinder of aluminium, and then at the very bottom, stainless steel. You could drain it. There was a little tap there for people. So if you wanted a little, like, herbal tea or something while you were boiling, you could just pour a little bit of that out.
I called it the escape hatch, that latch. So, like, if you were finding yourself losing consciousness,
you could just simply
reach out,
hit that little tap, and within
15 people got into these things.
They did, yes.
Right.
Because they wanted to improve their breathing. Yeah. And I wanted to enable them to do that.
Yeah, getting into Burko boilers. And
well, they weren't, I think you, to be fair, scratched the name off them.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I put Veronica Sai. I had Vista Print labels printed up for myself.
Little plug there for Vista Print labels.
Yes.
Very handy. Waterproof.
Waterproof.
Absolutely.
Vinyl.
And they can deal very well with high temperatures as well.
Yes, very, very good. And yes, so we're currently waiting for the court case to finalise so that we can, and I'm feeling optimistic about it, that we'll get the Veronica Sai tanks back on the market.
I hope so. I hope so. Because it looks like your skin has been through the ringer. It does look like you're sort of burned from the neck down.
Yes, but I'm actually using some ointments.
Yes.
Which help me to keep going with the tanks.
Yes.
Okay, so
it's a big barrel of ointment you got there.
Yes, I have. Actually, that's what's great about the Veronica Sai tanks is you can use it to hold your ointment.
And you need a lot of ointment after use.
Careful not to boil your ointment, though.
Oh, no.
Don't plug it in.
It actually is very bad at high temperatures,
toxic,
that ointment.
Fumes.
There's oils in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's another thing that we have. We have an ointment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It smells a little bit like tikka masala.
Yeah.
That it might just be your skin, Veronica, after all the burning.
Oh,
well,
really?
We do use some natural spices in the ointment. And
nothing more healing than a spice.
Yeah, a spice. A nice chili spice.
Chili spice on your boiled skin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some cayenne.
Because it's not just about healing the skin, it's about getting that gasp. And what will make you gasp more than putting some chili on your raw bird wounds.
Yes, salt and chili.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a spice bag.
Yes, exactly like that.
Come here, I do want to talk to you about your book.
My book.
Which is great. It's all the way to the top of the bestseller list here in Ireland. It's Help My Lungs Are Burning by Dr. Veronica Sai.
Yes.
This is very exciting now. This is a kind of your journey.
This is up until now, all my books have been scientific. They've been, but this one is more of a personal, vulnerable story about my journey.
Yeah.
About if overcoming my breathing issues and
adding to them.
Yes. No.
Well, you are one of the only people who has tried to give yourself asthma. Is that correct? Just so you could gasp a bit more.
I see it as a bit like when you give yourself a little bit of coronavirus in a vaccine.
Yeah.
You give yourself a little bit of that,
little bit
and
of
your
asthma.
Body learns.
Yeah.
Your body fight it off.
Yeah.
So I gave myself a little bit of asthma.
Sure.
How you do that is you live in a moldy environment.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you all the things that you've been told not to do. You know, keeping the windows closed.
Mm-hmm. Take off wet clothes.
Poor insulation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Leaving, just sort of letting the place get damp.
Leaving,
you know,
the milk out of the fridge.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Leaving the radiators off, even if it's uncomfortable. Again, another opportunity to gasp if you're coming into a cold apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel very optimistic that it will work. Mm-hmm. It hasn't as of yet, but
no,
we will get there.
Yes. Oh, so you've contracted a little bit of asthma?
A little bit of asthma.
A little bit of asthma.
I'm a little bit dependent on an inhaler now. But this is something I expected as part of the journey. Mm. I expected we will have to go through a rougher time before we get to the time without the inhaler.
Yes.
Now, yes.
Before doing that, you were at a time without the inhaler, is that right?
I was, yes. I was at a place where I could leave the house without an inhaler, and now it's very, for the moment, very important that I bring the inhaler with me.
Yes. Great. And you're hoping that your body will sort of fend off the asthma so that you don't need the inhaler anymore.
Yes, you'll have to remind me to take the inhaler with me on our swim.
Well, if I can't bring the tanks, I don't think it's fair you bring the inhaler.
It's a completely different thing.
Oh, well, there it is.
Well, that's the advice of a doctor's quality, so yes, I can't argue with
quality.
That. Can't argue with that.
Well, just to go back to your book, you had help writing it. Didn't you?
I did. I had help, an editor.
Editor and a ghostwriter in Roy Keane.
Roy Keane, yes.
You know, he did a bit of a touch up on the language.
Mm. He did. I had received a note when I'd written the book first that it was a bit lacking in gusto, was what they had said. If we wanted the readers to really feel that, you know, this is a lifestyle that will give you gusto, so that we approached Roy Keane, who is a fan of mine. Yes, he uses my method. You might have noticed him, his skin is quite red and raw.
You can often hear him breathing.
Yes,
you can.
In absolutely.
And if he physically punches himself
scary.
As well. Like, how he breathes. He manually pumps his lungs.
Yes. Oh, yes. And, you know, if anyone's going to need my method, it's an athlete.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
A breath every three strides.
Oh, my gosh.
That's an athlete. Yes.
That is an athlete. Roy... Yes. Actually has a breath every four strides is what he's up to.
Wow.
Using my method.
Wow.
Extreme.
Using my method.
And the corset?
The corset, he is wearing it just at night now.
Okay.
You have to wear it all day and night.
Yeah.
We'll get you to just nighttime.
Thank you.
Yes.
I look forward
we'll
to that.
We'll get you to that.
Yeah.
So he helped write the book.
Yes.
And he's a big fan of yours. So you know him well, I suppose.
Yes.
At this point.
Yes, very well. We met at a conference in Cork.
Yeah. He won't leave it.
No, he won't leave it.
No, no.
And
not after Saipan, he's like, I'm not going anywhere.
No. He had gotten himself very worked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was about that Saipan.
He was still talking about Saipan.
Yes, he was very...
Jesus.
Someone had asked him a question and
training facilities.
I had luckily... I could see him in the corner. He was very upset. And I had luckily brought my tanks.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And I went up to
him. Which tanks now?
Both tanks.
Ointment and boiling.
Boiling water and ointment.
Okay, yeah.
And I approached him and I said, you seem very... Your breathing seems to be... A breath every stride,
which is
not good.
That's a bad rate.
That is lowers your life expectancy by, I estimate, 20 years if you're doing
wild. A breath every stride.
Every stride.
Jesus.
It's bad. It's very bad. So I went up to him and I said, get into my tank. Get straight into my tank.
Mm-hmm. And did he?
He was reluctant at first because he could see it boiling. But I gave him, if it's your first time, I have a special suit you can wear.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I gave
him... Does that help with the temperature or does it just look nice?
It won't decrease your chances of burning, but it will take away the sting.
All right, you'll burn, but you're numb.
So you won't be.
Yeah, you won't. Yeah, it's like, you know, with lobsters that you bring it up to the boil, mm-hmm. you'll get less of a shock, but the help will be just as good.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Now, is some sort of a lobster suit then? Is it a kind of, or is it that it uses the same method as a lobster?
It's both.
You can disregard that question.
No. I've gotten.
Looks like a lobster uses methods of a lobster.
I would say that the lobster uses my methods.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, have you ever seen a lobster?
Oh, I have.
Underneath the water?
Can't say I have.
No. But you see them popping up every 3 strides?
Oh, you would, yeah. Mm-hmm. You would, yeah. Easily, yes. Every 3 strides. Yes. Yeah. And it's difficult because they have like so many legs. You're not sure what stride
you're
counting.
What's
a stride for
if
a lobster?
If they just shift in position, that's 3 strides.
That must be.
Colin, are you excited? Well,
I'm scared, honestly.
You did a little bit of research into the history of the East France Island.
I did.
Because, you know, we're a history podcast and so we want to get a little bit of that in there. So
yes.
Are there any ruins on the island?
I think there are ruins, but I think originally it was like sort of like just a culmination of some of the rubbish in the sea.
Okay,
I think it wasn't like geographically it didn't exist about 120 years ago.
Right, so yeah. A very short history. It's just a bunch of rubbish.
Just a bunch of rubbish, and it's kind of burning. And that is why the oxygen levels are a little bit lower, because it's burning up some of the oxygen.
Okay, I see. So it's a burning pile of rubbish. What kind of stuff is in that pile?
Oh, God. I mean, mostly kind of like...
Crisp packets.
Mm. A lot of Coca-Cola stuff. Bread.
Yeah.
A bunch of old French pans.
120-year-old bread.
120, well, I don't know. It's toast now, I guess.
A lot of buckets and spades that have been, inflatable toys that have been brought to the sea.
Yeah, okay, so it's been accruing over the years.
Yes.
And just some sort of World War One stuff.
Yeah.
You know, things that would float. Not cannons, but maybe...
Light cannons.
Helmets.
If they're upturned.
You know,
so that they kind of float. And then just obviously the locals.
So there's people living on the island?
Just a group of small, fully formed...
Fully formed is an interesting way to describe any people, really.
With the amount of rubbish on the island,
And where's your food?
It is very impressive that they have formed fully.
Yes. So they're kind of part human, part rubbish pile. You know, they can drift back into the rubbish pile and seem like they're just part of the landscape. And then they come back out and they sort of dance. They have their own culture. They have a religion.
I'm sure you can't wait to meet them.
No, I'm really looking forward to meeting them.
What are they called?
The Krangles.
Krangles, yeah.
The Krangles. The Krangles are actually... the inspiration behind my breathing exercises.
Really?
Yes, the Krangles.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Yes, that's another reason, as well as the oxygen. They've had to evolve to live on that island.
Mm.
So they use less oxygen.
Yeah.
And
because there is less oxygen.
There is less oxygen. So the first generation didn't do too well.
No.
But the second generation...
First generation died.
Died. The second generation managed the oxygen levels a bit better.
Managed it better,
We're on to the third generation now and they have it under control.
They are flying
it. They have it under control.
They're flying it. They are absolutely flying it. Is it fair to say that you're in some way... related to these people? Is that how you got...
That is what I delve into in the book.
My lungs are burning.
Right. Yes.
Wow, it makes sense.
Yeah, chapter 14, you know, finding my breath and finding my people.
Yeah.
I discovered that I am related.
Yeah.
That I'm descended from the Krangles. It was very emotional. I noticed it.
So you had no idea up until this point?
I had no
idea. So your parents... maybe left the island, didn't talk about it?
My mother...
you're half Krangle.
Yes, my mother was a Krangle.
There she is there.
She's calling you.
Mum, I'll be out a second. Mother was a half Krangle, or she was Krangle. She left the island to go on to do different things.
Yeah.
And she met my father. and they had me. Mm. And Mum kept it a secret because the Krangle people are...
So she left the island to do different things. She wasn't into the whole Krangle way of life.
She was not.
Breathing in a burning pile of rubbish.
She didn't want to stay at the perimeter of an island anymore. She wanted to go into the centre.
Okay.
Which is why she moved to Mullingar. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Well, the centre of the west, sorry, of East France, of course, is the hottest part.
Yes.
That's where the fire is really kicking off.
Yes.
So the edge is probably the coolest, where it hits the sort of the ocean.
And the bubble is there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yes. So you've got a little bit more oxygen, and also you've got like cooler temperatures and stuff. So yeah, you can't come into the centre of East France, but you can here in Ireland.
Yes. Mm. And that's what she's always said is... I like being in the centre. You are the centre of my heart.
Yeah.
That's what she would say to me, Veronica.
Because she's got a huge hole in her heart. Is that right?
That's from the smoky island that
and
she grew up on.
And the sort of lack of nutrients, I guess, in the diet.
Wow.
So they're fully formed.
How often does your mother leave Mullingar to go to the outer rim of Ireland to take a breath?
I've only known her to do it once.
Really?
When I was a child, we went to Corktown. And it was challenging for her. There seemed to be a lot of angst about leaving it, about leaving the centre of Ireland. We went to Corktown, and immediately she was poking her head in and out of a bubble that was not there.
We don't have a bubble in
Ireland.
No, we don't. As we know.
So she was poking her head in and out and getting quite distressed.
Yeah, screaming and sort of running to the edge of the pier and saying, I've got to get outside of the bubble.
Yes. And we thought nothing of it at the time.
Right.
But in retrospect, having been to East France, as you'll see yourself, very normal behaviour.
Yeah, it's very common.
An island, poking your head in and out.
Of the bubble.
Of the bubble.
Wow. Yeah, look, I look forward to it. Just excuse me, just a minute, quick minute. I'm just going to have a little check and see if the oxygen tank is still here.
Yes.
That's all right.
Check if it's still here.
Just if it's still here and if it still tastes good.
If you want to have a hit of the tank, you can have a hit of the tank.
Yeah.
I used to be like him.
Really?
Yes.
You were on oxygen tanks as well.
I was on oxygen tanks as well. And my life was ruined by it.
Right.
That's why I'm so invested in getting you off the tank.
What happened? How was your life ruined?
Relationships falling apart.
Oh, Wim Hof.
Yes. I was married to Wim Hof, as you know, because you've read the book.
She
mentioned this. I didn't know if we wanted to get into it or not, but...
I was married to Wim Hof. We met in Scotland in 1997. Mm-hmm. And we immediately bonded over breathing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And
you were like, oh, I see you're a breather.
Yes. Yes.
Like someone who's very good at breathing. Like I'm not very good at it.
No.
But we know this, but you are able to identify another expert breather.
I saw him across the bar.
Yeah.
I could see him. I could see.
That's the first attraction for me, is someone that I can see.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's one of my green flags.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's because of your first marriage.
Yeah.
Who were you married to, Gillian?
Well, it was someone who was invisible.
Oh.
Yes. May or may not be a real person, but we got on like a house on fire. Mm. So I'm not sure if it was an invisible woman or was it...
Air.
Air.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But air is very attractive.
Oh, yeah.
I understand if you fell for air.
Yeah.
We can all put our hands up and admit that we've fallen for air. Colin?
Colin, your hands are not up right now.
Sorry. No, look, I've fallen for a bunch of things.
Says the man with the oxygen tank.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, I'm not saying that I don't enjoy the oxygen tank. I just don't know if I would be attracted to the oxygen tank. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
You just pick them up and discard them.
We both get what we want out of it.
Yeah.
The oxygen wants out of that tank.
Mm-hmm.
And I want it.
That's a fair deal.
I want it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I
Killian
mean,
is just, he's just has an oxygen tank without a tank.
Wow.
That's what he has with his relationship.
That's
I did. I mean, we broke up eventually.
You
she,
think?
She disappeared. I have no idea where she went.
You could tell though. You could just tell that the tell. Vibe was different. Like, one of these mornings.
I was like, Doreen. Oh, Doreen.
She didn't answer.
Doreen? I mean, she never answered, but there was a particularly non-answering non-answer in that.
It was a deeper silence.
It was a deeper silence, yeah.
There was humidity to it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. There was a sadness to it.
There was a sadness to it. And I think, I mean, some people have since suggested, well, it's because you ran out of glue. but I don't know. I think maybe the glue was what kept us together, and once I ran out of glue, she had to go out her own way.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I mean, you can hear all about it on the most recent album by my doo-wop band. Doo-wopper. What was it called? Who knows? Anyway, I talked
Have
about
you
that
run
at
into
one point,
her
I
since?
Think. God, all the time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're in a stationery shop?
Just a high wind.
Just a high wind.
I'd be like, oh, will you piss off?
She bumps into you.
Yeah, she's giving me the shoulder. You know, she's shouldering me as she's going past. Mm. Yeah.
But is there not that still that sort of beautiful electric frisson that happens between...
Oh, God, yeah.
A bit like at the end of La La Land. You know that film? Like La La Land. Have you seen that, Killian?
I have. I can't quite remember the end of it.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like she goes to a jazz club and she sees... the love of her life, and there's sort of a painful acceptance of that is over now, and she's happy now, and it was happy that it happened, and it doesn't need to be revisited.
And does she go and have a cry and a wank in a field?
She in the deleted scenes, I believe there is a deleted scene.
Okay. Heavily implied.
Okay, yes, it's right. Very, I guess that is similar. God, I missed that the first time around when I saw it. But that's exactly the same.
Yeah.
Art. You know?
It's just such a relatable feeling.
Yeah. Right, well, we're going to have to probably get going. Like, I have... The ferry is booked.
The ferry is
we're
booked.
We're ferrying there, by the way. That's okay. The cheapest ticket I could get was ferrying.
Sorry to reject. We are not ferrying.
No, we're ferrying to France and then we're going to...
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. No, then we're walking or swimming or
jogging,
you're going
to... underwater. Mm-hmm. To... East France.
You're going to ride me like a hippo, I guess.
Yes,
and
yes.
And then every three strides, you'll sort of pop up for some oxygen. And
it will, I'm not going to lie to you, it will add, as you know, the quickest way to get somewhere is a straight line. We will be going very jaggedly from seafloor up to the surface again.
Hell of a zigzag. Hell of a zigzag.
It would take... You can see East France from Nice. Yeah. You can see it.
Yeah.
It's very close. I've seen kids on Lilo's drift to it. But we're going to be zigzagging. I estimate it's going to take 7 days.
Oh, wow. Mm. I don't know if I'm going to be the last 7 days.
Well, that's exciting. That's an exciting adventure for you, Colin.
Yeah, well, I'll be back just in time, I guess, for next week.
For next week's episode, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we have to head off. Hopefully I'll be able to get off these tanks.
Yes. Well, good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
About all we have time for.
Yeah.
Quickly before we go, just a quick plug for a writer and improviser that I'm a big fan of. Mary Rose Kerwin on Instagram. Find her there and go see her improvise sometime. And
did
see
we
her
hit
content.
The S on Rose?
I don't think we did.
Mary Rose.
It's a very slight S. Put it in lowercase, but everything else in uppercase, and you won't find her. But that's it for now.
That's it for now. Check us out on theimprovpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Get one of the last few t-shirts there. And until next time.
That's what's after happening.
In 1162, a man jumped to the moon. In 491, Galileo made the zone. In 1287 was the first ever Kevin. In 1919, Martin, she became queen. Something's after going on. What's the crack with this thing? All kinds of carry on. Look what's after happening.